You know, we always try to keep the church nice and clean. We want it to be clean. We want it to look clean. We want it to smell clean. And I'm thankful for the cleaning crew that we have that comes in on Friday morning to vacuum and to dust and to wash the windows and to clean the bathrooms. And we have about 15 people that come in. And for all of them, it's more than just a job. It's a ministry. I mean, as they clean, we feel that we're serving the Lord. Most of us, when we think of the tabernacle that's mentioned in the Old Testament, we think of a nice, clean, sparkling place. The Bible talks about that in the tabernacle, there was lots of gold, there was lots of silver, there was lots of brass, there was beautiful cloth that was used to make the tent of the tabernacle. There were precious stones that were used that were on Aaron's robe and on the hat that he wore. We think about the altar. We think about the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat. We think about the angels that stood above the Ark of the Covenant. We think about the candlestick. We think about the table of showbread. We think about the altar of incense. We think about the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat was. And as we read about it in the Old Testament and we picture it in our mind, we picture it as a beautiful, clean, dazzling place. But if we were able to go back in time and visit, I think our mind would change quickly, because the tabernacle was a bloody place. We read about it in our text from the book of Hebrews. First time it was set up, Moses took blood and sprinkled the tabernacle and all the vessels. He took hyssop, a common weed, and dipped it in a blow of blood and sprinkled the book, sprinkled the people, sprinkled the tabernacle or the tent. He sprinkled all the furniture. He sprinkled all the vessels. He sprinkled everything. And I don't think it was just with a few drops of blood. I think there was a lot of blood that God had Moses sprinkle on the tabernacle. Many of us, when we see a little bit of blood, get a little queasy. When we see a lot of blood, sometimes it overwhelms us. I mean, just imagine this morning if I had somebody bring a lamb in here and I cleared off this table and I killed the lamb, drained the blood into a bowl, got a branch out there with some leaves on it, dipped it in the blood, and I sprinkled the piano with blood. I sprinkled the organ with blood. I sprinkled this pulpit with blood. I sprinkled this table with blood. I sprinkled all the pews with blood. I sprinkled all of you with blood. I mean, some of you would start running before I even got back to you. I mean, we wouldn't like it. But that's exactly what the tabernacle was like, yet it was precious in the sight of God's people. Our text verse is verse 22 from Hebrews chapter 9, where the Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood." And that's exactly true. The law is the law that God gave to Moses, the Ten Commandments, and all the other principles that God gave him. And almost all things in the law are purified or cleansed with blood. And it says almost all things because there was a few exceptions. One of the exceptions was clothing. In the Bible, God's people were instructed several times when they were going to purify clothes that they'd captured when they captured different cities, like when Gideon defeated the Midianites. The clothes or the raiment, the articles made of skin or goat's hair, were to be purified with water. Not blood, but with water. And then there's one other exception in the law from Leviticus chapter 5, verse 11. And it was the trespass offering or the sin offering. If you were too poor to offer an offering from the flock, like a lamb or a calf or a goat, then you could get two turtle doves and offer that as a sin or trespass offering. But if you were too poor to purchase a turtle dove or a pigeon, you could bring some fine flour. No oil, no frankincense on the flour, and you could cast that flour on the fire as a sin offering. And so when the Bible says almost all things are purified with blood, it's true. I mean, almost all things were purified with blood. But those two exceptions, clothes, and if you were too poor to offer a sin offering. Every other time, every other person, every other situation in the Bible, sin had to be purified with blood. And so we come to the second part of the verse where the Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. I speak on the subject this morning, no blood, no remission. No blood, no remission. Notice, in the second part, in the first part of the verse, there was a couple exceptions. But in the second part of this verse, there are no exceptions. If there's no blood, there is no remission. So I want you to notice two things this morning. So you're getting an extra special bonus. I only got 2 points this morning. But I'll just tell you, they're usually longer. But never mind, anyhow. I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice, first of all, that there is remission. The word remission means to put away a debt. I have a debt. It is remitted when it's put away, when it's canceled, when it's done away with. And so there is remission. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to God because I'm a sinner. Amen. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am not righteous. That sin makes me a debtor to God. I owe God a debt. David, when he was begging God for forgiveness with the sin that he committed with Bathsheba and then killing her husband Uriah, he said in Psalm 51, as he begged God for forgiveness, against thee only have I sinned, God. Yeah, he had sinned against Bathsheba. He had sinned against Uriah, but his sin mostly was against God. I have sinned against thee. And so I am a debtor to God. The debt that I owe is to die. The wages of sin is death. And again, like we talked about yesterday in the funeral, it's not physical death where I'm separated from my body, but it's spiritual death where I'm separated from God. That's my debt. I owe that debt because I'm a sinner. But by the way, so do you. You are a debtor this morning because you are a sinner. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? You don't even know me. I mean, I just met you this morning. It's not me that's saying that. It's this book. The Bible says in the book of Romans, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no exceptions. We're all sinners, and because we're all sinners, we're all debtors to God. And the debt that we owe, the debt that we owe is death, is separation from God. But what this verse says, is that my debt can be wiped out. My debt can be canceled. My debt can be paid in full. This verse says that I can take my debt. Let's say that this page represents, it's my IOU. It's the thing that tells me that I owe God a debt, and that debt is death, separation from Him. This verse tells me that I can have somebody take that. And by the way, I'm finished with these, so don't worry. Somebody can take that debt, tear it up, because it's been paid in full. And it says that God cast it behind His back. It says that God buries it in the deepest part of the sea. And that verse tells me that I can have remission, that my debts can be wiped out, they can be canceled, they can be put aside. I can have that remission. Amen. Now, let me tell you some things about that remission. First of all, it's complete. Every one of my sins are remitted. Every one of my sins are canceled. Not just my little sins, but my big sins. And by the way, with God, there's no difference. But I mentioned it yesterday. There's no difference. Sin is sin. There's no little sins and no big sins. But every one of my sins, I mean the sins that I commit by accident and the sins I commit on purpose, every one of my sins, every one of them, my sin not in part, but in whole, can be remitted. They can be canceled. They can be paid in full. And that remission is immediate. It's not at the end of a process. I mean, when I get my sins remitted, it happens in the twinkling of an eye. When I say yes to Jesus, in the twinkling of an eye, I go from being a sinner headed to hell to a saint headed to heaven. Doesn't mean that I'm never going to sin again, but it means that in God's eyes, I am no longer a sinner. I'm justified, just as if I've never sinned in God's sight. And so that remission is complete. It's immediate and it's eternal. I want to tell you something. God doesn't go around and pick up all the pieces of my sin, and I'm not going to take the time to pick them up and put them back together. I'll pick them up later. But he doesn't put them back together, tape them together and say, there it is, your sin debt is back, you owe me again. No, what he does is eternal. It lasts forever and ever and ever. Look, if God in his word says everlasting, if God in his word says eternal, and I or you can do something to mess it up, then God would be a liar. And my God is not a liar. His remission is eternal. It lasts forever and ever. And then it's perceptible. It means that I can tell that I got it. I can tell that I got it. We sing that song. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. I want you to know something this morning. I know I am saved. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm on my way to heaven because my sins have been remitted. The Bible says in Psalms, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Not only does my remission take care of all the sins I've already committed, my remission takes care of all the sins I'm going to commit in the future. They're under the blood. I can picture the scene in heaven. God, Jesus, Satan. Satan looks at me and he says to God, hey, did you see that? He messed up again. That old preacher down there, he was sitting at the ATM. He got impatient with the person sitting in front of him. This is a Sunday school joke. If you weren't here for Sunday school, you won't get it. Did you see that? He got impatient with the person sitting in front of him. He almost got out of the car and yelled at that person, did you see that, God? And Jesus pipes up and says, it's under the blood, Father. It's under the blood. I paid for that one when I paid for all the other ones. I paid for that one. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not any more sins. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. So remission. It's complete. It's immediate. It's eternal. You can tell that you've got it. Number two, quickly, I want you to notice how it comes. It comes only with blood. Amen. Only with blood. You need to repent? Yes, you need to repent. But repentance alone won't get you remission. You need prayer? Yeah, you need to call out to God and ask him to save you. But you call out to God and there's no blood, there's no remission. It's not by baptism, it's not by church membership. It's only by blood. That's why that verse says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. No blood, no remission. And it's not the blood of bulls and goats and the animals. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Well, if it's not the blood of bulls and goats, whose blood is it? 1 Peter 1:19 tells us, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Remission comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why he said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. the Jews were slaves in Egypt. God sent Moses to free his people. In the process of freeing his people, God sent a series of plagues into the land. The last plague was the death of the firstborn. It came to be known, that event came to be known as the Passover. The plague was that every firstborn child in every house in Egypt, from Pharaoh's house down to the lowest slave's house, every firstborn child that night would be killed. And the only way that that household could escape the death of their firstborn child was to kill a lamb. It became known as the Passover lamb. And to take the blood from that lamb and put it on the two sides of the door and the top of the door. That night when the angel, the death angel, passed through the land, he would look at the doorpost. If there were no blood on the door, he would go into that house and the firstborn would be killed. But if there was blood on the door, the death angel would pass over that house and the firstborn would be spared. It didn't matter that night what kind of house that the people lived in. What mattered was their blood on the door. It didn't matter what kind of chariot was parked in the driveway of that house. What mattered was there blood on the door. It didn't matter what kind of people lived in that house. What mattered that night was their blood on the door. It didn't matter. Didn't matter if they were good people or bad people. Didn't matter if they were smart people or dumb people. Didn't matter if they were rich people or poor people. Didn't matter if they prayed, if they were praying people or people that didn't pray. It didn't matter if they read the Bible or didn't read the Bible. What mattered was their blood on the door. When we stand before God, when we stand before God at the end of the age, it will not matter what kind of person you've been. What will matter is, are you under the blood? Amen. It will not matter how many good things you've done. What will matter is, are you under the blood? When we stand before God, it won't matter if you've been baptized, a member of a church, or took communion. What will matter is, are you under the blood? What can wash away my sins? Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When you stand before God, when you stand before God and He sees the blood, He will welcome you into your eternal home. Amen. But if you stand before God and there's no blood, there's no remission, and He'll say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you. I never knew you." If you're here today and you've never claimed the blood of Jesus for your sin, you can do it right now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You're a sinner. You owe a debt to God. That debt is to be separated from Him. And without blood, the blood of Christ, there is no remission. Amen. You're not going to get your sins tore up, canceled, blotted out, however you want to say it. You're not going to get it blotted out, tore up, canceled any other way. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He offers it to every person. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You simply need to come and admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus died on Calvary and shed His blood for your sin, and call on Him and ask Him to save you. And He'll do that. He'll do that. If you'd like to do that this morning, we'll help you. All you got to do is come in just a moment when we sing. We'll help you. We'll help you do those very things. Call on Jesus and ask Him to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the blood. Thank You for the blood that flowed from our Savior's body as He hung on Calvary. That blood, oh, that precious blood that remits our sin. And I pray for each one here this morning that's never receive that for themselves. They've never dipped themselves in that fountain that washes white as snow, the fountain of Jesus' blood. And I pray this morning you'd help them understand they're a sinner. They owe a debt to you, and that debt is to be separated from you forever. But the blood of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on Calvary, pays for all of our sins. And if applied, can make us right with you. And so, Father, I pray if there's even just one here this morning that's never done that, in the next moment, they would decide to receive Christ. They would decide to call unto him. Call for salvation. Ask Jesus to save them from their sin. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray you'd help us realize what we have in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's what makes us clean. It's what makes us pure. It's what makes us stand before you just as if we've never sinned. The blood of Jesus Christ. Help us to be more grateful today. Help us to be more willing to lift our hearts and our voices to God and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.